And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. And if it is the second Tuesday of every month, it must be Reaching Your Financial Goals with Bob Berger. Bobby, how are you? I've never called you Bobby before.
Ricky Bobby.
You haven't.
Yeah, remember that?
Chris had just called me Cheese, and now you're calling me Bobby. I'm getting called all kinds of
names. His name is Berger.
Yeah, that's right. And if he really shows off today, we'll call him a ham. That's even a good one. So how was your New Year's? I haven't seen you since last year.
I have to interrupt you. I was listening to your show before, the show before this. The beginnings of all your shows just go downhill so quickly.
It was amazing.
Then we have to try to pick them back up.
Yeah, that was, we went way off topic.
That's okay.
But see,
it's Conversations with Krista.
Yeah, that's right. I was going to, yeah, we did have that. Even that call.
It's what Krista wants to talk about.
Yeah. Yeah. You remember that song? Whatever Lola wants, Lola gets.
That's right.
Whatever Krista wants.
I'm redeeming
wants.
Us.
Yes. Absolutely. So, Bob, you had a good New Year's.
I did. How about you?
Good. Good holiday.
Good. Yeah.
And you're raring to go. You're looking forward to 2011. We talked about resolutions last show, and I bet people have made resolutions, and maybe they've dissipated in thin air.
You think?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, easily.
Unfortunately. And I think that's what we're trying to get across is how to make resolutions stick and some strategies, some behavioral modifications, some mindset tweaking, we'll call it. And then I'll have lettuce and cheese on that hamburger. Okay. So, Bob, what do we got today? You saw my email. It was really about... myths, resolutions, and results.
Yeah, I like the idea of the results. I was listening to the show before I got here, and a lot of the notes that I took when I was just driving and writing, you know, you're not supposed to be doing
those
that's things.
Yeah, that's safe.
Yeah, that's safe.
Isn't that a form of texting?
You know, want versus don't want. I think that's important when you're looking at your financial.
Yeah,
you know, the other phrases that I think a lot of are pain versus pleasure, which I think you guys talked about.
Did we talk about that?
in a very distinct, not directly.
Yeah, it was pain and pleasure. Yeah. I have the whip. You have the handcuffs.
Oh, here we go again.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Okay.
The other ones I would talk about, fear and greed. I think that drives people. So going back to the pain or pleasure, are you avoiding pain or are you looking for pleasure?
Hey, that's good. This is good NLP stuff.
Right. And that's and then self-talk, language patterns I think are important. Initiating control versus blaming. I think that's a big one.
I think that's huge.
I think that's a big one. So, and I think Kurt also mentioned waiting. And then getting too old and life has passed you by. And
right.
I think that's a huge one for financial people. I think people just wait and say, I'll do this sometime. I'll take care of this later. And then all of a sudden they're 65 years old and go, uh-oh, now what do I do? Mm. So
I bet you see that quite a bit. It ties into immediate gratification.
It does. And we've talked about this in the past. Why, if you didn't think you were going to retire or have any goals for the future, why not just go spend a day?
Right.
You know,
a lot of people squander that money and they've always wanted to take that one big trip.
Right.
And then they die.
Right.
Without having taken that big trip.
Wow. They take a bigger trip.
They take a trip 7 feet
under.
Maybe
a better trip.
Take a big trip.
A trip that's free. So that's quite a trip. Okay. But I agree with you. So myths, resolutions, and results. Because after all, Bob, you have in your mission and your purpose is to create better results for your clients and for people. Even if they're not your clients, because you're on the radio once a month, you're out there talking and speaking and writing about things that will enhance people's lives. I admire you.
Well, thanks. and I agree. It's so important to get results. And I think it's a good follow from your previous show, inside versus outside. You really do need to look at the inside. But we're bombarded by the outside stuff, right?
Yeah. And that's part of the problem is people, well, two things, I think, is one, no one's really learned to focus inwardly and they don't realize, and maybe logically or intellectually they realize that it all starts from the inside, manifests on the outside, but people still work on changing the outside. It's almost in a movie theater trying to change the screen, what's reflected, without changing the film.
Right.
It's like, wait, are people really kidding? That's exactly what it's like. How do you change the projection on the screen? And there's only one way, is that you got to change what's on the film. And what's on the film is your internal processes. Wow, you like that?
Yeah. That's really deep.
Yeah, I like that.
Like, you lost me 5 minutes ago.
you lost me at hello. Yeah, Bob
that
at hello.
That was deep. Holy moly.
But anyway, but it really makes sense.
It is.
Is the projection versus the screen. And I think people can understand that. And that's the attack point. Part of the film, though, is content. Part of the film mm-hmm. is what Bob Berger has to come up with strategies that really have a lot to do with behavior. So because part of what you do, I'm sure, is it has to be discipline. Mm-hmm. People have to have a disciplined approach to finances, meaning they have to have a disciplined savings plan, a retirement plan. They have to have structure. They have to discipline themselves to look at their budget, to project ahead what it's going to take to get retirement. Bob, does this make sense?
Yeah, it does. It goes back to that inside-outside scenario that you guys were talking about before. You have to really want it. You know, we mentioned that almost every show and probably multiple times on each show, that it's easier to go do things today. What I did it before going on the show, I printed off a couple of the articles that I've seen recently because it is, you know, time for a New Year's resolution. So it was curious to see all these articles hit the news wires in the last month. So one of the first ones I thought was interesting was 10 retirement myths. And let me know if you agree or disagree on these. You don't make enough money to save for retirement.
Boom, disagree.
Right. I think for some people that it's probably true. I mean, if you're literally living paycheck to paycheck and you can't cut your budget anymore, I'm sure that's a possibility. But for most people, I think that is totally false and it is a myth.
But think about this from an NLP standpoint. I'm going to overlay NLP onto this. This will make this really interesting from a mindset perspective, in that if you don't make enough money to save for retirement and you can't cut any more expenses, you're at the bare minimum, what does that mean? Well, that means maybe the question is how do you make more money if
right.
you can't cut expenses? The how question, so that might lead to skill upgrades, to changing your beliefs that you can make money. Most people that don't make money believe they can't. All right, Bob.
And that's an interesting one. I'll jump down a couple of myths, and it says your money is safer out of the market. Sorry, we're having some internal.
Oh, technical difficulties
Technical difficulties that aren't watching. It's a good point that you just talked about where you need to do something different, because one of the myths is that your money is safer out of the market. And I always tell people that, okay, you want to take your money out of the market. You don't want to take the historical return of the market. What's going to change?
Yeah.
Right? Something has to change. So if you have goals for somewhere down the road and you are willing to accept a lower return, you have to make that up in the goals somehow, right?
Yeah.
Very true.
Yeah, so you're saying the myth is you don't want to say that again.
The myth ad in this article says your money is safer out of the market.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
So what people do is they jump out, and unfortunately, we saw this recently that during obviously 2008, probably the second worst year we've ever had, people bailed at exactly the wrong time. I just got done writing a quarterly letter. We had two great years. And so many people just sort of sat on the sidelines waiting for the best time to come in because they felt that their money was, according to this myth, and I agree, they feel that it's safer out of the market. And go back to that.
So that leads to then the concept of long-term strategy. Stick with your strategy. Don't just on a whim panic and pull out of the market or any investment without understanding the way you strategize to get into the market, and it's probably usually on a long-term basis.
Yeah, it should be. And anything that's in a short-term basis, you should have in cash.
Yeah, right?
You shouldn't have it in risk, in risky asset, because if you need it within the next 6 months to a year, you probably shouldn't take risk with it.
So that's called risk tolerance.
Oh, I like that.
You like that?
Yeah.
Risk tolerance?
Risk tolerance.
Yeah, that's a financial term, isn't it?
Which is interesting, too, from risk tolerance standpoint, when you interview people, when the markets are going well, they'll have unlimited risk. Oh, I have no problem, right? Yeah. Load me up, you know, leverage me up, do whatever you need to do. And as soon as the market starts to go down, they're willing to tolerate no risk whatsoever.
Yeah.
So risk
yeah.
tolerance is very interesting
That's
from
funny.
That standpoint. It's,
okay.
it's so true.
It's so, you know, would you say, Bob, is that psychological risk tolerance? I know there's a pure financial part to that, but it also is based on emotions. I had a client that... the wife was more, the husband was risk adverse, and mm-hmm. the wife wanted to roll the dice a little bit more. And that was a source of issues in their marriage because they were very different.
Yeah, and I think one of the key pieces there is to look at, now you look at the goals rather than how much risk or how much return. That's another piece that so many people do, the emotional or behavioral pieces of investments. A book by, I think it's Muir Statman, he talks about the behavioral piece. And he mentions investing shouldn't be a blood sport. In other words, it's not about winning at all cost. It should yeah. be investing in order to meet your goals.
And that's the key word there, because if you don't have goals, you don't have a target.
Absolutely.
Right? And people, I mean, do you find that also, that is that people really are sort of weak in making their goals?
Yeah.
Very
weak. I
think
so. I think you people think? Just kind of are very nonchalant about their goals.
Yeah, and they may not know how to really do it properly.
I don't think they do. I think that's why they need a financial planner.
Yeah, like Bob.
Such as Mr. Burger.
Yeah. Oh, you call him Mr.
she was
Mr.
dying to call
him. Yeah. Mr. Cheeseburger.
Because I looked at Krista because I was exactly.
That's pretty cheesy.
Yeah. Wow, again, we're going downhill
okay.
quickly.
Yeah, I forgot. All right, number
But that was what I think going to Krista. Dave and I live in numbers world, so it's interesting to hear from you. How many people, you know, do you think really have numbers goals or really understand even? That's one of the struggles that I have with clients is saying, okay, I want to retire.
Right.
What does that look like? I don't know. I just want to quit working.
Do you make anything?
Right. Another planner made an interest comment. You can retire today if just quitting work, but now you need to live the rest of your life on $5 a day.
Right.
You know, so you can always retire. So so it's interesting to have you say that I don't think most people really know their goals.
No, I don't think they realize that if they quit today, they're going to be living in a box as opposed to that house with the heating and, you know, TV and microwave.
So you know a lot of people, right, Krista?
I do.
She
a
is
plethora.
Really well known. And so out of all your friends and fans.
Yes.
FIT fans.
My fans.
How many people you think really know how to set goals?
To be honest, I would say maybe an eighth.
Wow, an eighth.
An eighth of my friends.
That is small.
And it's a small group, absolutely.
How does that compare with your experience, Bob?
I would agree. I think by the time people come into a financial planner, I think that they've thought this through, but that's unfortunately often very late. We mentioned the age earlier. I think the biggest demographic that comes in to see us is 10 years or 5 years away from retirement. All of a sudden they go, uh-oh, I need to do something. So then they start thinking about it, which, of course, at that point, you really need to ramp up everything
right.
and take a lot of risks that you may not be comfortable with. So I would agree. And that's one of the things I struggle with as a financial planner is trying to get people to set their goals. So it's interesting to hear you say one-eighth because yeah. if people really set goals, I think they would be seeking financial assistance, but I don't think they have any clue what it's going to take or even what they want.
Yeah, I agree completely.
Right? So
it's a multitude of skill sets, and a lot of people, obviously, they don't know great financial strategies. That's where you come in, Bob. But also, you know how to goal set, too.
Right. And it's always been my premise is that's how you build a portfolio. And that'll take us into one of the other myths. You will earn 11% a year in the stock market every year. How many people have been told, you know, whatever that magic number is, I always hear 10%, this article said. So they figure, why bother? And then they get very disappointed when they see a 2008, right?
Yeah.
Because they say, oh, my goals, I can never meet it now. I didn't make the 10%. And they don't understand that the next couple of years are 20s and 30s. But without having a goal, you'd never know that. Or the education.
Right. I think a lot of it falls on education. They're just not educated as to what to do or where to go.
And, you know, it's part of... if you think about it, you can take a word out of green thinking. You know, we have the Green Roundtable. Mm-hmm. And part of their whole deal is sustainability. And if you apply that to finances, that makes a lot of sense. How do you sustain through the bad times? And that's an important strategy, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's a very good point, because we didn't have the fallout, I'm sure, that an individual investor, which is another myth here. It says you can do better by investing on your own. Mm. And I think most people struggle. Then there's plenty of studies and groups that show how much money came in and went out, and the average person is market timed exactly wrong. You know, they got out when, because it goes back to that emotions. And sustaining, yeah, when we went through 2008, we sat down with clients. Very few people changed anything. Actually, we added to equities during that time because we said, okay, if we believe on average we get 10% a year and we're down 30, we have to think that there's pretty good years coming. But without a plan, and I like that word, sustainability, because if you get out of the market, you can't recover.
Right.
Yeah, and that's the sad part, especially you get out at just the wrong time. You know, but people get out when it's really low, right?
Yeah.
I mean, what's wrong with that? I mean, that's craziness.
But people, and that's one of the, it's an interesting piece from professionals. We look at the emotions. There is the fear index, the VIX, that says, you know, that's the fear gauge of volatility on the S&P 500. When it gets so low, we want to get out because we figure so many people have become complacent that everything is good and nothing can go wrong. And that's usually when something goes wrong.
Right, when they're very settled and just kind of nonchalant about things going on around them. Right.
Isn't that when Warren Buffett goes in when it's low?
Yeah, that's interesting. Warren Buffett mentioned a couple times. I just ended up listening to Snowball. It's a great book. It's his life story.
And really? He's an interesting guy, isn't he?
He's a very interesting guy, but that's exactly his point. He says, you know, buy when everybody else is fearful, and sell when everybody's happy. And that is so true. And that goes back to where we're talking about, you know, the pain, pleasure, fear, greed, whatever you want to use, do the opposite, because so many people are selling at the wrong time and buying at the wrong time.
So when we come back from our break, we're going to talk about that, is how emotions play an impact or have an impact on decisions. And I think that's an interesting question that the listeners will love to hear. And we'll be right back with Reaching Your Financial Goals with Bob Berger and Krista Schmidt in studio.
At Beerenbaum Baum and Spien PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerenbaum and Spien works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. And this is Reaching Your Financial Goals with Bob Berger in studio as our guest, Krista. And I'm just going to call you Krista.
Krista, yeah.
And anyway, we're having a good discussion because not many people, Bob, will integrate financial matters with mindset matters. And I just think it matters. How do you like how I said
that? I like that.
Financial matters, yeah. Mindset matters,
rhetoric
it matters.
There.
It really is huge, isn't it?
It absolutely is. I mean, I could bring somebody into the office kicking, screaming, I don't want to do this, but what good is that?
Yeah.
You know, and that's one of the pieces we talk about because we're fee only and we get paid by the client, not we don't earn commission. So there's no benefit for us to get somebody into the office one time, sign and get a big check. We don't work that way. So it is a struggle to get people to come in at times, but you're absolutely right. It has to be somebody that knows what they want and knows what they need to go get there or are questioning how to get there.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And we were talking just before the break about how emotions play an impact on decisions. And I think people make emotional decisions. And often that just does not work out well because what's behind their emotions? Well, often it's fear, it's greed, it's fear of surviving, it's all sorts of obstacles, and that is what's driving their decisions. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Not a good way to decide.
No, not at all.
And you see it all the time. Krista, let's ask Krista.
All the time.
Your friends, how do they make decisions, a lot of them?
A lot of them through emotions. I mean, and then they don't follow through because they're fearful that it's not going to work out or not going to make someone happy. They're scared. You know, so many reasons. It's always a reason as to why they can't do it and follow through.
Well, at least it's an illusional reason.
Absolutely.
Or a delusion.
Delusion or an excuse is what I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You bring up an interesting point because of the divorce financial work that I do. It really brings fear to the forefront because it's such an emotional piece. And by doing the divorce work, I think I become such a better financial planner because I understand the emotions of people. But we get to normally we get to use the emotions over a long period of time, right? So if you're looking for retirement and you have 2008 come, you can work out the emotions and see how it comes back. But when you're going to make a decision on a day with a signature, how the rest of your life is going to work out, that is huge, full of emotions. And we talked a couple months back about the divorce piece of how people make really bad decisions during an emotional state.
And here's my analogy. It's a great song, a country western song. I wrote it down as you were both talking. Girls get prettier at closing time. Now think about that. No, there's an analogy here because as you get closer to retirement, look at what impacts your decisions. Fear comes up. Now, in terms of girls get prettier at closing time, have you heard that song?
I've never heard it. Who sings it?
Oh, it's a great song. I forgot. Have you heard it?
No.
Oh, yeah. It's really a number one hit.
Google for me, people.
But think about what that means. This is a great analogy. It really is. Girls get prettier at closing time. Desperation takes over.
It does.
No, really. And desperation, it's a good analogy, right, Bob?
Mm-hmm.
Desperation in retirement planning.
Right. And that's for that person getting really close to. But then the other piece, going back to the behaviors, are what are you afraid of?
Yeah.
And I think that's important because just like in the divorce work, we always are operating out of fear. Because one person typically is afraid that they're going to be broke because they're not getting enough money.
Right.
And the other person's fearful that they're going to be broke because they're giving money. And so our job is to show them that neither one will be broke. But they're so tied up in their own fears. So I think it's important. You know, your new song is an interesting example of fear.
Yeah.
But I think from the individual standpoint, if you're not doing what you want to do, or if you know, like I tell people, if I walk down the street, we walked out and just grabbed 10 people out of the parking lot and just say, do you think it's a good idea to put money away for retirement? How many think would say, yeah, probably?
I think most of them would say, yeah, intellectually.
Right.
But intellectually, yes, but one
behaviorally, they don't, though.
Right.
And behaviorally, they don't.
And that's an interesting point. So what are they fearful of, or what are they greedy for, or why? So that's a question I always have for people is why, if you know that that's a good thing, why aren't you doing it?
Because a lot of people think this way. They think, oh, but I can't buy that, you know, $200 pair of shoes if I'm putting $200 towards my goal for the future. That's how most people think.
You're right.
The money's not there. It's not tangible. I can't touch it now. Now I don't have anything to spend, and people are so spend frenzy happy.
That's true.
Right.
Spending.
That, you know, it's going in a place where they can't see it.
Right. Fear, greed, pain, pleasure. Mm-hmm. The pleasure of buying new shoes but they don't attach enough pain to living in poverty when they're in retirement because they can't feel that pain at this point.
Yeah.
But as they get close, then they do.
Thus, girls get prettier at closing. See, I mean, it really has an emotional impact on your decisions.
And, yes.
And people need to look at it differently, set different criteria, different standards, different reasons for why they're even here. If you really want to get to a higher level purpose for your life, and I think people get distracted with all the toys. And that, Bob, is that where a lot of the people's money go? They spend it on toys and that the toys aren't making them money. It's just making them distractions from the pain of their life.
Right. The analogy I always say, let's go drive down the street and see how many garages are open, and most people can't fit the amount of cars in the garage that they have.
Right.
You've seen my garage.
Yes.
Oh, I know.
We've seen the five cars.
Yeah.
And it's a two-car garage.
Yeah. Yeah. They're stacked on top of each other.
But yeah, and that's a good piece. And maybe that's a good behavioral piece for people to go through, especially after it's just the new year. Go in and clean out your life, right? Whether that's your closets or emotional baggage or whatever the case may be, get rid of all the chaos and then come back to where you want to be.
Yeah, there's no doubt. It's a really sad state of affairs. I think most people really don't want to work on the most important thing in their life, which is, let's see if Krista will get this, the most important thing in their life. Where do you place your biggest investment in?
I put it in happiness.
Okay, you're close. I'd say invest in yourself. Right. And really, if you think about it, that makes a lot of sense because it ties into, Bob, what you're doing. Investing in yourself is really the ultimate in financial planning because you will not start purchasing just frivolous, weird toys. You will really invest in yourself. And by investing in yourself, you will not make emotional decisions. You'll make crystal clear decisions based on long-term planning. Voila. Bob Berger, financial planner.
Yeah, and what's interesting there is if you truly want to live a higher lifestyle measured by monetary rather than all the other pieces, what's the best thing to invest in? Your human capital.
Yeah, there you go.
The biggest piece of how it's going to dictate your life is how much you earn. Okay, so people say that was one of the myths. You need a large income to become wealthy. Well, there's plenty of millionaires next door and all the other scenarios. The key piece from a financial plan to success is to live within your means.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with how much money you make. Of course, if you make more money and live within your means, you could still buy those $200 pair of shoes and be very happy.
Right.
But you'll still have money set aside.
Or $200 pair of jeans, but whatever.
I see your shoes. They look pretty nice. There's still the price tag on it, $200. Look at Warren Buffett. He's a classic example where I believe he still lives in the same house he lived in 35 years ago. I read that he still drives an older VW Bug. And here's a guy that really had the joy. It really ties into what Krista said earlier, happiness. I mean, it's not about more toys that make people happy.
No, it's internal happiness.
Totally agree. Give me some knuckles on that.
Nice. Yeah, not about the things you have in life.
Right, which is interesting. Right. If you read Warren Buffett's story or listen, as I did, he had trade-offs too. He was so hungry to be a millionaire. That was his goal from when he was 14 years old. He gave up his family life.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so his kids really suffered. He's trying to, according to the book, and I'll always, you know, I don't know him personally, so I don't know, but according to the book, he really put his kids aside for his business. Mm-hmm. So that's another key piece. Going back to your goals, what's really important to you is making money the almighty.
Right.
Right? So, and that's something, unfortunately, Warren Buffett in the book, it talks about how he sort of really figured that out in the end. And he regretted, or he's getting closer to the end, I guess. He's about 80 years old now. Mm. He realized that. But that goes back to your goals. If you really want money at all costs, what are you willing to risk? And that's something I always tell people. Every choice has a consequence. Every return has a risk. Understand them.
Well, when we come back from our break, I'm going to comment on that because neurolinguistic programming has a perfect question to make sure that you're not sacrificing something in your life that you might regret at the end of your life. And when we come back, we'll talk about it.
The This is Arizona Station, 1010 KXXT, Tolleson, Phoenix.
What does your landscaping say about you?
I'm friendly to our planet.
I xeriscape.
I'm water smart.
I harvest rainwater from my landscape and garden.
I'm a free thinker.
My landscape is filled with flowers year-round.
I'm energy conscious.
I water wisely.
Clemente Design Landscape represents your vision with an understanding of what a well-designed and cost-effective landscape can do for you. Call us for a free one-hour consultation and evaluation at 602-540-3773. That's 602-540-3773. Or visit the website ClementeDesignIsGreen.com.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac, and this is Reaching Your Financial Goals with Bob Berger. A special in-studio guest is Krista. You've heard Krista on the sports show.
I am.
You are indeed.
And, I is.
Yeah. Wait a minute. That's our English show. Anyway, we were talking about what is an NLP language pattern or question you can ask yourself, because Warren Buffett may not have asked this question when he sacrificed apparently quite a bit to become a millionaire, and maybe he's having second thoughts towards the end. The question is, in NLP, it's called ecology. You want to make sure your life is balanced, and people want balance. How will your desired outcome affect other aspects of your life is the question. How will it affect, and you could get more specific, mm-hmm. how will this, going after this goal, affect my kids, mm-hmm. my family life, friends, recreation? You could ask it in any way, and I think that's important. Bob Berger.
Yeah, I agree. There's two things that jump to my forefront of my mind is, because one of the excuses that I had in one of these articles was, I can't save for retirement, I'm saving for my kids' college. Well, I hope that has sort of gone away and people have understood that you can borrow through college and pay that back. You can't borrow through retirement. But as a father of a four-year-old, I also see parents struggle with that scenario of, should I stay home?
Right.
From age one to five or birth to five or whatever the case may be. And I look at them and I wonder if they've really looked at their goals, because, you know, we talked about having all this stuff, right? If they gave up some of this stuff,
they could stay home.
Could one of them stay home? Yeah. And is that a higher value to them than doing that? But I don't think anybody or very few people look at that.
They don't. And what's interesting is the daycare bill. It's phenomenal.
Right. So
they spend more in daycare than they make.
That's true. Oftentimes, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a good, and I think that's where some of the people at least start. But then, you know, especially when you have two or three, then it just becomes cost prohibitive unless you're making a lot of money.
Right.
But I even just go back to the values of, okay, if I could stay home, going back to Dave's thing, you know, with Warren Buffett and stuff, is if I could stay home, if I really, really wanted to stay home and raise a kid myself, what am I willing to give up? And if I gave that up, could I financially make that work? And it goes back to the same thing with the college. Money is, I don't know what the word, recoverable, whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, you can go get more of that somewhere down your life. You can't get those years back. And that's what I look at parents go, I wish I would have spent more time with my kids, because now they're teenagers and they want nothing to do with me.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That often happens. I think it's their parents are addicted to a lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the key word is addiction there, because they and it really ties into what Krista said, is if they learn how to be happy just to be happy internally, then they would realize some of the external things, the toys, aren't really necessary for happiness. And thus they might have an easier time letting some of that stuff go.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, look at how many things, like I said, the garage, or how many times we just take things to Goodwill or whatever the case would be. We use them once or twice or never wear them or whatever the case would be, just because we felt we needed it at the time.
You know, it's a good point. And it's really a sad state of the, of society when it comes to that. And if you could even look at it even deeper, how are the kids impacted? You know, what are they learning? What's their role models? And you know, is it sad for children? They call it, the latchkey kids?
Mm-hmm.
Is that
absolutely
what it is? And that's tough.
Mm-hmm. Well, and children do what you show.
Mm-hmm.
They learn
by
what you do.
That's
so
right.
If you're out there buying, you know, the Wii and the PlayStation and everything for them, they're expecting it. That's their way of a lifestyle.
Yeah, it's changing dramatically,
it is.
Isn't it? If you don't have like a cell phone at age 9 these days.
Right, you're not cool.
Or the some of these, PlayStation or whatever it's called.
Right.
Wow.
And that's an interesting comment by Krista is, and the kid has no reason to make, because we see this in the divorce piece too, if they're so used to spending and then they wonder why they're having problems with their spending and the kids are struggling as well. But the kid has no other perspective at that point.
Right.
If they've always gotten what they asked for or cried for or whatever the case may be, what makes them think any different? They get to 18, 19, 20,
absolutely,
that they won't get the same thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's really
an expectation. It's not, you know, oh, wow, thank you. It's an expectation from them.
And that could be tough. So you can adjust expectations.
And you should.
Yeah, and where do expectations come from?
And the kids' standpoint should be from the parents.
Yeah. And where do the parents' expectations come from?
Hopefully. And that's a good point, because it should come from internally. It should come from what you want. But it goes back to, you know, going full circle to the show that you guys did before that. How many expectations are built from what they see? Keeping up with the Joneses.
Yeah.
And that's exactly it.
You know, Madison Avenue knows exactly how to push and pull our pain, pleasure, fear, greed in commercials. They know what scares you.
Yeah.
And they know what makes you want to buy.
You know, I think from an NLP standpoint, what happens is these toys, these things, become part of one's identity.
Mm-hmm.
And identity is a very deep psychological part of someone, versus if it becomes just part of their environment. So so if you look at it, if you have a toy in your environment versus that toy is part of who you think you are, to build your self-esteem, like I have a Mercedes or a Porsche, and that becomes part of your identity, it's harder to pull that away, because that's where you get your self-esteem, your confidence, it's just a sad state of events. But if it just becomes a car, you can let it go or keep it, whatever. It's not even part of who you are. It's part of something you use.
I had a client at a previous firm who kept going through money. And the one time she called and said, I need to take out $12,000. I'm like, what do you need it for? She goes, I have to go buy, I think it was a Mercedes or BMW. And she said, I know if I'm driving this nicer car, I will work harder.
Interesting.
That was her thought process.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Very similar to, I know if I have this girlfriend, I'll feel happier.
Right?
The same ridiculous concept. I mean, it doesn't make sense. And that's why I think 2011 is the year that people need to change their internal thinking.
Right. So let's go through some what I think should be resolutions for 2011. Take advantage of tax breaks.
I agree.
Yeah.
Right? Contribute to a 401k or in an IRA plan. And certainly to the level that you can claim the 401k match. Right?
Yeah.
Absolutely do that, because that's just free money.
Yeah.
It is. And a lot of... I get people asking me that, you know, like, should I take the match? I go, hello. Are you kidding? It's free money.
Right.
I mean, there might be a vesting schedule, but it doesn't matter. At least, you know, if the employer's willing to match it.
Yeah, why wouldn't
it's
you?
Like, Bob, why wouldn't people do? Is there a reason?
I think it goes back to that behavior, is that they just want to spend it.
Mm-hmm.
I can't, because even if you didn't get the match, you're at least saving that. Right?
I think education, too. I don't think a lot of people really fully understand.
Right.
I agree. Totally agree with that.
Right. And so another one is save just 1% more. I'm working with one client right now. They know they need to go. They're contributing nothing. And they know they need to go to 15%. Okay.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, they need to max in order to get what they want. So they can't go from 0 to 15. So what we've made a structure is, okay, we're going to do 3. Then we're going to add 1 per month. So that's a behavioral piece to get used to having that little bit less. So one of the resolutions should be just save 1% more. And the government obviously has given this great opportunity. They took, as Dave would know, 2% off of taxes. So your pay should be 2% higher for most employed people.
That's true.
So now, so what should you do with that money? Well, one good resolution, just you're used to not spending it anyhow.
Yes, put it away.
Put it away instead of spending extra. But we know what most people do. Yeah. And of course, the government knows this too, because if they knew you were going to save it, they wouldn't have given it to you anyhow. Right. They would have paid off their debts. That's the way the government
circle
works.
Circle of life.
Right.
The people will go, oh, good, I got a raise, newfound money.
Right.
Where can I spend it?
Right. And going back to the 401k, contributing, I wonder if some of them just psychologically feel that they are going to take it out anyhow. That's one of the biggest resolutions it has here is avoid retirement account penalties. I can't tell you how many people consider their 401k a savings account.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And then when they need it, they just pull it out at, you know, then the 10% penalty and ordinary income tax. And, you know, you just wiped out 30% of the money that you had.
It goes back to education, because there is a provision, right, with a traditional IRA that once a year, not calendar year, but once a year, you can pull that out for 60 days and roll it back in if you do it within 60 days, penalty and tax-free.
Right.
I mean, that if people understood that, they could use it for some short-term swings as long as they know they can replace it. If you can't, that's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And you have to have that backup plan to do that. That's a short-term emergency.
Yeah.
Another one that I mentioned is learn how to maximize Social Security. One of the key pieces I think that's so funny, I wrote an article on The Examiner about this, is people, when I say Social Security, when I go into write plans, they always say, they chuckle. Because I say, oh, how much are you going to receive in Social Security? And most people say, oh, Social Security won't be around. I said, okay, let's run your plan without Social Security benefits then. And they're, no, I want to keep them in, right? But that's true. If you really think that Social Security is not going to be here, you should be providing for that money that you're not going to get. And I don't think a lot of people, you know, they're quick to joke that Social Security won't be here, but they don't want to make up the difference.
You know, and that's interesting that you bring that up, because in my case, you know, because I'm only in my teens, it won't be around. So we should be saving what a typical Social Security would be taking out and putting that to the side.
Right. Because
as a backup.
Yeah. Because if you want those goals when you're in retirement, somehow you have to fund that difference. So I think it's interesting that so many people chuckle, but they don't make adjustments accordingly. Yeah. I think that's an interesting one. We've talked about earlier, eliminate unnecessary expenses. Don't inflate your lifestyle. I think this would be a good one for people as employment's starting to pick up again and you get raises.
Right.
The easiest thing to do is inflate the lifestyle, but maybe a portion of it.
Right.
How many of us sat there and younger, you know, you're still in your teens,
so
you haven't had you haven't had this time yet. As you get older, as you get raises, you think back to, you know, when you're young and you made $20,000, you're like, oh, if I only made another $5,000, I'd be so rich. And then all of a sudden you're, you know, double, triple that, and I can't make it from week to week. How did that happen?
Yeah. What are you buying?
Right. But that's the American way.
It is.
Right. So that's a tip, a resolution for 2011. Don't inflate your lifestyle.
Don't live
further.
Beyond your means.
Right. And that's an interesting point, because that, to me, is the key piece to successful retirement or not.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter how much money you make. It doesn't even matter what investments you're invested in. So people get all hung up on, did I pick the right mutual fund? Did I pick the right stock? If only, you're going back to the blame or excuse.
Right.
If I would have only bought Microsoft when Bill Gates was still in college or whatever, you know, they all have these excuses. Oh, I missed that one, so why bother going now, right? But it's so true that they put a blame on there. So I think living within your means has so much, is the biggest piece, more than investments, more than investment return, more than how much money you make, any of that. And people just don't get that.
And another big piece, and we'll talk about it when we come back from our break, is do you know where your money is going? I hear that all the time from clients. I just don't know where my money goes. And it's like, well, maybe it's time to track it. And when we come back, we'll continue our discussion with Bob Berger, Reaching Your Financial Goals with Bob Berger, and Krista in studio. We'll be right back.
What if your house is on fire, you call 911? The firemen don't know what to do, the truck's got a flat tire, the water hose has a leak, they can't decide what to wear, and everybody wants to drive the truck. This never happens because they have a process, they follow it, they're on the same page. I'll help you put your fires out with a business process. I'm Barbara Haggerty, helping you mind your own business. 602-750-4518. Increase the bottom line now. Even a two-person business needs a process, and I specialize in small business. 602-750-4518.
At Beerenbaum Baum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac, and this is Reaching Your Financial Goals with Bob Berger and in studio Krista. I love the name of your show, Reaching Your Financial Goals with Bob Berger.
Creative, huh?
Where did you come up with Bob Berger? Oh, this
I'm gonna
is...
change it to cheeseburger.
Oh yeah, that's a good one. I love cheeseburgers actually.
Really?
You know my favorite is In-N-Out Burger. I really like that.
So would we help the emotional piece of this if we had cheeseburger on the...
Yeah, that's right.
People would crave it more.
So where does your money go? I hear it all the time from clients. And you know why I hear it? Because they don't have a set of financial records to track it. If they did, they would realize it. And guess what? That would also help for behavior modification. They go, wow, am I really spending that much in this area? Or talking about their spouses, like, you spent that where?
Right.
Where's Las Vegas again?
And that's so true. I hear clients all the time, I don't spend that much. Okay, you make this amount, save this amount. Well, what's left, right?
It's got to be what they spend.
Right. So an interesting blog, I'll give her credit, Kimberly Palmer, and it's mylifelist.org. She wrote a blog of how to double your savings rate in 2011. So it's a good piece, too. And it ties in exactly what you were saying. Number one, create a personal net worth statement. I wonder if most people know what they're worth or positive
not.
Or negative, right? If they're in negative territory, would that be a wake-up call to you say, if I died right now, I'm leaving a financial burden to somebody. Would that be a wake-up call? And especially if you're in a family situation, right? Would that be
Good
a
point.
Wake-up call?
Yeah.
And, of course, then we'd probably have to look at some kind of insurance. But another one that Dave brought up through the break is knowing where things go. Print out your monthly checking accounts and credit card statements. Sometimes having that in front of you in writing is so important because it brings out all the things that you don't pay attention to. I think one of the biggest problems that Americans ran into is the creation of the debit card.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
If you had to take out money and hand it to a clerk, it's very different than swiping a card and you don't feel, again, the pain. You feel the pleasure, you don't feel the pain of the money coming out. I think that was a huge detriment to American society.
Well, and I think like with the checkbook ledger, you have to write down what checks you write, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Even with my debit card, because I don't do credit cards. I don't believe in credit cards. even with a debit card, I will write in my ledger what I've spent.
Excellent.
Just because it's a visual.
Nice. See? She's right. A good candidate.
Yeah. She's, yeah. And how many people do you think do that?
No. I don't know any of my friends that do that.
Right.
Yeah, right. Or a lot of my friends, what they'll do is they'll go to the supermarket, they buy their groceries, but then they take out $100. Like, why?
Right. And I heard this in a divorce case. What we used to do, because they were having spending problems, is I'd get paid and then we're off, and I'd pay off the bills and we're off to the races again.
Yeah.
Nice.
Right? But that's how I think most people, as long as they have something, as long as that debit card doesn't get rejected, they're off to the races, as they would say.
Of course, credit cards were probably even worse.
Card. But I think people didn't use credit cards on a daily basis. So what I guess there is that the debit took away the psychology of daily. But the credit card's a whole different piece. Another one, we talk about this all the time, is make a plan to change your habits. And that's really what this show has been about. But so true. If you don't have a plan, like we talked about, if we have a negative market, what do you do? If something in your life changes, what do? If you don't have a plan to adjust that.
And let's look at that as make a plan to change your habits. I'm going to throw out a question. Bob and Krista, what do you think the number one bad habit might be when it comes to financial planning? The number one bad habit. And
Bob?
Procrastination.
Yes.
Absolutely. It's
Krista?
Procrastination.
I was going to guess that, but you know, he took it from me.
Oh. You were like a lady and gave it to Bob first.
I was giving it to the guest.
Yeah. So that wait, you're the guest. What is going on
it's
here?
It's called reverse psychology.
Oh, yeah, that's what it is. But I agree, procrastination.
Yeah, I think, and that's in so many areas in life, I think procrastination is probably your biggest enemy.
But one question, is procrastination always a bad thing?
I don't think so.
No.
So if you procrastinate on that next piece of chocolate cake, maybe that's a good thing.
Right.
Okay.
Right. On certain things, procrastination is absolutely valid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like when you're unsure and you're infatuated and you want to go out and you have Google Eyes with some other other party, it's good to step back and say, why am I making this decision?
Right, mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's a very valid point.
Yes, it reminds me of the movie Old School. Remember that?
Yes.
Okay, I won't say that one. All right, so, Bob.
Okay, her fourth point to double your savings in 2011 was live well below your means. We already talked about that at length. Another one was write down how much you want to save by year end.
Mm.
That goes back to what we talked about, not going from 15%, doing 1% at a time. And I would add a piece to that, automate it.
Yeah.
Because people always say...
out of sight, out of mind.
Exactly. Get the money out of the account and you won't spend it, hopefully.
That's smart.
Yeah. She says ramp up savings into tax advantaged accounts. I would have a little bit of disclaimer there. I'd say you definitely have to have an emergency fund available first, just in case something does go wrong. You don't want to be pulling out of 401ks. And I think a lot of people say always invest the max 401k, but what if you have really bad choices? You might want to diversify your assets if you only have, let's say, it's not as common as it used to be, but they used to have, Enron is the most notorious, only have company stock as an option.
Right.
Do you want to max out 15% of your pay plus have your job there? And, you're putting all your eggs truly in one basket at that point.
Good point.
Her seventh one was review long-term investments and consider rebalancing. That's one of the biggest things we do in the first quarter of the year is go back through and look at, are you getting closer to your goals? If you're getting close to your goals, let's say you're getting closer to retirement, you can take risk off the table. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Why would you be extremely risky? That goes back to that being investment being a blood sport. Why would you?
That was my favorite movie. Bloodsport with Jean-Claude Van Damme.
You like it. You can't say that on there.
Jean-Claude Van Damme?
Yeah.
Oh. It's his name.
Thank you.
But that goes back to so many people. If they don't have a plan or a goal, they just shoot for higher returns because that's
all
that matters, right? So if you can rebalance, take risk off the table, that makes a lot of sense. Mm. And we talked about this earlier. Stick with your investing plan despite day-to-day market dips.
Yes.
That would be probably, procrastination we mentioned as the one piece that really hurts people. The best advice I think I could tell somebody from the investment standpoint is turn off the television. Don't listen to CNBC.
I agree.
Don't get into the emotions of what people say because you have to keep in mind, and this is an interesting piece, is they consider the source whenever you get any information. This isn't just financial. I'm going to use financial obviously because it's a financial show. But if you pick up a magazine, what is their goal?
to sell you.
Right, to sell advertising.
Absolutely.
And to sell subscriptions.
Yes. They want you to buy their product.
It's not to educate you.
No.
But if most people pick up a magazine, don't they think that that's there to educate them?
That is very true.
It is very true.
CNBC, yeah. Any of those news, what are they there for? They're looking for viewership.
Yes.
They're looking for sensationalism. The more viewers they have, the more they can charge their advertisers. And so, although it appears that it would be educational, always look at what is there. So,
no doubt.
Good point.
Very good point.
So, last piece, I think we're almost out of time.
I think we have about 3-4 minutes.
3 minutes. Okay. Harvey McKay, most people know him. He's an inspiration.
Swim with the Sharks.
Yes, he's an inspirational speaker. And usually he talks about companies, but I thought this article really tied into finances. Some of his key pieces: it's easy to change things, it's hard to change people.
Hmm.
So he was talking about a corporate philosophy, but I think that's true from a financial standpoint. So he said some of his key lessons: learn from experience. So as I look back on 2008, one of the big things we look at is, could you really tolerate the risk that you said you could?
Yeah.
Back to, 2007 was good. Oh, yeah.
Right.
Wrap me up. Accept setbacks and losses. And I think that's from any aspect of life. So many people, that just dooms them and they just stop.
Yes.
Right? And instead of saying, okay, that's a setback, that's a loss, move forward. Recognize emotions. So he's talking of exactly what we've been talking about for the last hour of how emotional pieces do that. Keep time in perspective. And this, from a financial standpoint, so key. If you're looking and you see a bad year of 2008 and you're going to retire in 30 years, does it make that big of a difference? And it doesn't. So that's why it's so important to keep time in perspective. Think creatively and flexibly. That's an interesting thing. What do you really want, and is there another way to do it? And that's what I always tell people from a financial standpoint. If you know what you want, I can build the product for you. Don't accept that one product fits all pieces.
Mm-hmm.
So always look and see, if I want this, what are my choices? Can I be creative? Can I be flexible? Can I find a different way to do that? And we talked about this earlier. Take care of yourself. Goes back to the human capital. And lastly, ask for help. If you can't do this, and I guess that's a good way to wrap up the show, is we talked a lot about what people do wrong, what holds them back, and maybe some resolutions on how they can do things differently. But I think just like in any aspect of life, if you aren't getting it done on your own, so if you felt you needed to save more money for retirement, you got out of the gate this year, January 1st, calendar flipped, and you're already struggling, or if you find yourself struggling in a couple months, it might be time to ask for help.
I agree.
Well, there's no question asking for help. And speaking of asking for help, what is your contact information, Bob Berger?
Contact direct line is 602-235-0336, and our website is www.moneyaz.com.
And that's 602-235-0336.
Correct.
I love that. And, it's really important. People, especially men, I think, are notorious. When they're driving, they never stop and pull over and look at the map.
Right.
And maybe it's time this year to look at the map. And the map is a financial plan. Isn't a map a financial, a financial plan a map?
It absolutely is. And I tie very often the financial piece to, personal training. That's my passion, being in shape. And it was interesting. I heard some lady walking down the stairs one time at 24-Hour Fitness, and one of her friends goes, "Wow, you lost weight. You must have hired a personal trainer."
Yeah.
So she made that assumption.
Right.
So we don't know the whole story, but I'm going to assume she probably tried and tried and tried and tried and finally had results. And then she assumed that she went and got outside help. But that's so true. If you want to get in better shape, if you've been trying over and over and over again, it goes back to, it's easy to change things, it's hard to change people.
Right.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And I think that's it. I think people need a team of advisors, whether you're in business or not, and especially a key person in your life, in your business, has to be a financial planner, because that's what a lot of people don't understand. They don't understand some of the tactics, the strategies, and it's an educational piece. And then, Bob, you are blessed with being able to do and integrate behavioral discipline pieces, too. That's unusual.
And I agree with what Chris has been saying. She's used the word education multiple times. And I think that's a key piece of you have to educate people, because if otherwise, why would you make any different
Absolutely.
Choice, right?
Thank you.
Absolutely. And thank you, Bob Berger. And this has been a great show. And thank you, Krista.
Thank you.
And we will see everyone next month back with Bob Berger on the second Tuesday of every month from 2:30 to 3:30. Important stuff. Definitely call Bob Berger. And see everyone Friday on the Sports Show. Have a great week.